Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and transfigure us by the ministry and preaching of your word. May your Holy Spirit be convicting us to the heart, speaking to us, addressing our attitudes and our thoughts, and convicting us that we might walk in faithfulness in the pathway and in the light and righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The parable of the vineyard owner sending out for workers is one of those parables that really can address some of the bad attitudes that longtime Christians can have, can creep up into our hearts and into our lives. And so I'd love to explore that with you this morning, our bad attitudes, that is. The scene is one in which a man has a vineyard, and obviously in this vineyard there is plenty of work to do, and Jesus says that's the kingdom of God. There is so much kingdom work that is required to do that we could fill this church up 10 times over with people and still not be able to do all of the kingdom work that needs to be done in this place and in this time. As Jesus said in another place, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so as the owner of the vineyard, he goes out and he begins to recruit workers, and he starts at the beginning of the day, and I see Will Sims over there who's been leading our work teams at 8:30 in the morning, and inevitably there'll be somebody that shows up early and is ready to go to work, right, Will? And so just like that, there's people that show up at 6 a.m. and they're ready for work, and the vineyard owner says, are you willing to work for the usual daily wage? Which in that day was a denarius, and they said, yes, we'll go and work for the daily wage, and he puts them right to work. Well, a little bit later on in the morning, more people become available, and he puts them to work, and all through the day, because there's so much good work to be done, he is empowering people to go out into the vineyard. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there are still people on the sidelines, not engaged in the work of the vineyard, and he says, why aren't you working? Nobody's hired us yet. Well, I'll hire you. Get to work in the vineyard. And so he gets them to work. So it's the end of the day, and he starts to pay them. And everything would have gone great had he not done something which caused a tremendous conflict among these workers. He said, I want to pay them with the reverse order in which I hired them. So think about what that means. Is all these workers who have been hired through the day begin to watch the other people get paid. And so the first people to get paid are the ones that were hired last. The 5 o'clock people, 5 p.m., and they come up and they get put in their hand the denarius, the coin, the daily wage. And then the next people come and they get the same thing, the coin, the daily wage. And that you would think, you know, the people that had worked the entirety of the day, they should get a little more, right? That's what they start to think. And those 6 a.m. people, they get up to the line, and it's time for them to get paid, and into their hand goes the coin, a denarius, the daily wage. And all of a sudden, a phrase that I often have heard on the lips of my children rises to the surface. Do you know the phrase? That's not what? Fair. Oh, it's so frustrating with kids sometimes that they think that if you do something for one, that you have to do for all of them. My wife loves to give my kids special treats occasionally. And one of the special treats when the three of them were younger was cinnamon buns. And so she would get the tube of the cinnamon buns, open the thing up, and there were 5 cinnamon buns. Now, I was not allowed to have a cinnamon bun. But we have 3 kids, but there are 5 cinnamon buns. This creates a problem. And so I would be the one in charge of distribution of the cinnamon buns. And we were fine with the first three, but then we get to the two, and there are three kids. So what are we to do? And inevitably, if I were to go and start to slice the cinnamon buns up, I would not do it exactly right. And I would hear the phrase, well, that's not fair. That person is getting the middle part of the bun. Or that person is getting more cinnamon bun than that one. Or that one has more icing on it than that one. You've probably heard that before with your children and your grandchildren, right? Am I telling you something new that happens with immature people? We're not like that as adults at all, are we? You know the phrase, equal work for what? Equal pay. It's a good principle. It's an important principle that just because a person is female or of a different race, they should be getting the same amount of pay for the same amount of work. But in this story, it's equal pay for unequal work. And that creates a fairness issue. But here's the crux of the kingdom of God, and this is what we so often miss as we're thinking about the kingdom and the work that we have, is that we see the work that we're doing as in some way entitling us to the grace of God. That if we, you know, bless God with our hands, and we bless God with our work, and we bless Him with our lips and our lives, that somehow God owes us eternal life. And that's really not the case. Grace is a gift. And our attitudes need to be shaped by the gift and the grace of God. The context of this particular parable is instructive because there's a man that comes to Jesus. He's got a lot of money. He's very wealthy. And he says, you know, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life? What should I be doing to earn my way into salvation? And Jesus says, well, you need to follow all of the commandments. And this guy thinks he's pretty righteous, apparently, and he says, well, I have done that. I have followed all of the rules. And Jesus says, aha, but there is one thing that you lack. Go sell everything that you have and give it all away to the poor. Suddenly we came across the idol in the man's life, and he couldn't do it, and he walked away. Now, I don't know if you remember what Jesus said after that, but he says, you know, it's really hard for rich people to get into heaven. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a wealthy person to get into heaven. Now, there are some commentators that have tried to explain that in a way that's a little more palatable to American ears, where they say, well, you know, there was a gate in Jerusalem that was called the Eye of the Needle, and a camel could get through it, but you had to take all the stuff off the camel and then put the camel through the gate. No, that's not what that's about. Literally, Jesus is saying, it's like trying to get a camel through the tiny little eye of a needle. I can't even get a thread through the eye of a needle since my eyes have started to give out, much less a camel. And that's what the disciples said. Well, that's impossible. Right. You got it. You can't earn your way into eternal life. It is impossible for you to think that you can do enough work, do enough things, work a long enough day to deserve the blessing of eternal life. And that's where Jesus said this very famous phrase, with God, or with man, it is impossible, but with what? With God, all things are possible. And the disciples say, well, we've given up everything for you. And Jesus says, and don't think that that isn't worth something. But you are going to receive kingdoms upon kingdoms, an abundance of blessing in the eternal realms. You know, so often as we labor on in the work of the kingdom, we start to think of it as a burden. Particularly those who have been at the Christian faith for a long time, we think of it as a burden rather than a blessing and a privilege. And what Jesus is trying to get across to us and to his disciples is that laboring in the kingdom is a high calling, and none of us are deserving of it, and God, as the vineyard owner, is abundantly blessing all who will join him in the work of the kingdom. He gives to the man who works an hour eternal life. And he gives to the person who works their entire life for the kingdom of God eternal life. The reward of serving in the vineyard is the same. The blessing and the privilege comes to those who do it longer, actually, though they sometimes don't see it that way. I was talking once to a woman who worked for the Altar Guild at St. Peter's in Lake Mary, and I was asking her in a private moment. I said, you know, why do you do this? I mean, it's Altar Guild. You don't get a lot of credit for being on the Altar Guild, and she said, you know, I just don't know why I do it. It's such a burden. I come here every week. No, that's not what she said. What she said was, you know, I really love straightening things out. And this is a place for me to use my gifts and talents. And when I am setting the table, I feel like I am in the holy presence of God. And I am so privileged to be able to serve on my Altar Guild team. I love being with the ladies that are serving on my Altar Guild team. And when I heard her attitude about doing the stewardship of the church, I was humbled by that. You know, we worry so much about inviting people into the stewardship life of the church, you know, asking them to tithe or asking them to give of their time and volunteer. And our fearfulness in asking people to commit to the kingdom of God actually comes from bad attitudes that we have encountered along the way of longtime Christians, actually, who get a bad taste in their mouth because they're burnt out doing the work of the church. Only 20% of the church does 80% of the work. Have you heard that phrase before? That's the bad attitude speaking. It's the 20% saying, why doesn't the pew sitters of the 80% ever come and join us? They sound like Eeyore. The root problem, and we'll end with this thought, is that when we get focused on the I and the what, we lose sight of the why and the who. In other words, when it becomes self-focused and self-centered of what I have to do, we start to grumble. When it becomes a burden and just a job. But when our attention gets turned to the why of kingdom work, and who we're doing it for. I mean, just think about the Israelites grumbling in the wilderness. They lost sight of the why and the who. You know, here they are on a trek to the land of promise, serving the one true God, and they're complaining about the journey to get there. They're grumbling, missing the generosity of the God who called them and redeemed them and saved them. The vineyard owner says, I'm doing you no wrong. Did I not agree with you for the denarius? But look, am I not allowed to do with what I choose, with what belongs to me? Are you begrudging my generosity? God has an abundant blessing for those who would, as the disciples said, give up everything for the Lord. You know, there are times in my ministry, I've been a priest for almost 20 years, and there are times where what I do just becomes a job. And it's those times when I begin to resent the work and I don't enjoy it and I lose my joy. And there are other times where I have the right focus and I remember, you know what? This is a high and holy calling to be able to serve in the church, to be able to minister in God's name and to share God's love with other people. What a privilege it is. When I get into those mindsets, you know, I wake up in the morning and I don't even need an alarm clock. I get up in the morning at 5, 6, and I just instantly am thinking about what I can do for the Lord in that day. I'm sure you've had both seasons in your life at times, haven't you? Times where the work of the kingdom seems like a burden, and other times where it just seems like a high, holy privilege and calling.